The K-Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Of course, the countdown to the 25th edition of the Joy of Jazz Festival is underway. And it's coming through this Friday, and we gather at the Sandton Convention Center for two whole days of jazz and then some. And for the past few months, you and I, every week, have been in conversation with the incredible musicians that are going to be on stage at the festival. And we wrap up these conversations in this hour with one more artist who is going to be on the conga stage. Yes, I'm referring to Dudu Puane, who is in studio with us. And as a plus, you know, we'll be listening to some of her music from the current project, Rap in Rhythm Volume 1. Music from Dudu Puane's latest project, Wrapped in Rhythm, Volume 1, and she sings the poetry of Lebo Mashile here on the K-Jazz Show. And I have been fortunate enough to sit in the front row as, you know, as this project came alive and unfolded. And today feels like a full circle moment, Dudu, you know. She joins us now. Welcome to Kofifi FM.
Great to be here. Thank you.
It is a pleasure to host you. It's been a minute, and finally you're here.
Yeah.
You know, we started this journey with a phone call, I remember, and you said to me, you know, I'm looking to perform some new music, and we got in touch, and I thought this is that time where you introduced me to this project, and we found a place, and we performed, and we invited Lebo and so on and so forth. But the journey doesn't begin there.
It goes
all the way back to Pretoria. Let's go back to those days.
Growing up in I grew up between Atteridgeville and Mamelodi. I was born in Atteridgeville. And then we moved to Mamelodi when I was 2 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had two homes. I had one home in Mamelodi and one home in Atteridgeville. By my grandparents' home. So any child who grew up in any Pretoria township will tell you Sunday was the day for jazz.
Yes.
Like, you couldn't escape it. We had, like, my uncle and his friends, they had a group. We used to call them the Stoop Syndicates, because they would chill on the stoop and play, you know, the sounds of Cannonball Adderley and Miles Davis and John Coltrane. They were just infused in the streets of Atteridgeville. So you couldn't escape it. So this music was, I mean, I feel like I heard this music when I was in the womb. I really believe that. So it just, you know, I grew up with it. So, you know, like I say, you couldn't escape it growing up in Atteridgeville and Mamelodi. You heard it all the time. So that's where the seed was planted. We were talking about planting seeds just now.
Right.
So that's where the seed was planted. But you know, when you're a kid, you think that's music for old people.
And absolutely, because it was sold that way.
And you laugh at how they dance to it, you know. And it's so funny because now I see my generation dancing to that stuff too, you know.
Exactly.
I'm like, wow. Yeah, so I mean, as a kid, you're like, ah, that's music for old people. But then, you know, becoming a teenager and loving to sing. I've always been a singer. I've been a singer since I could make sounds out of my mouth. Listening to Natalie Cole. Natalie Cole was actually my my shero. You know, I loved her when she was a pop singer. You know. And then she came up with that incredible album, Unforgettable, where she featured her father.
That
technology, because you know. And when that album came, Unforgettable is a whole bunch of jazz standards. I had no idea that this was jazz standards. I just thought, this is the most beautiful music I've ever heard. I learned every song, not realizing that I'm actually feeding my vocabulary as a jazz singer. It was only when I went to FUBA after high school. I went to FUBA in 1997 for a year. And I went up the building and I heard a band rehearsing one of the songs I know from a Natalie Cole album.
Yes.
And I rushed to that room and I was like, I know the song, can I sing along? You know, and only to find it was just a bunch of, it was jazz standards, you know. And then through that journey, I started to go back and listen to, you know, the greats, Bo Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Carmen McRae and Betty Carter. And that's when I learned that, wow, I have a lot of repertoire already without knowing it. So thanks to Natalie Cole and her music.
And many other shows that you've mentioned that have kind of carved their way into your life.
Yeah.
You know, if we can put it that way.
Yeah.
Looking at those years, you know, I mean, with 8 albums in, let's reflect on that, you know, that period. Do you ever stop and pinch yourself? Like, this is me, you know, 8 albums later. Given this wonderful beginnings with Natalie, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm pinching myself a lot recently.
Yeah.
Because of this huge project. This project was so big in my head. There were points, you know, it took 10 years to get here. And in those 10 years, there were points where I thought, maybe I should let go of this idea. It's too big. It's too financially risky. Where the hell am I going to find the money to do this, you know? But when you have a husband like I do,
yeah,
nothing is impossible.
We celebrate him. We celebrate him all the time. Yeah.
This guy has been with me from the very beginning, from Song. My first album was Song. You know, my first album came out in 2007,
yeah,
the year that our daughter was born. And I wasn't ready, you know, like some of my teachers back at the time were telling me, don't record an album right now. You're not ready. You're not ready. And I just felt like I'm never going to be ready.
Which is always the case.
Which is always the case.
You're never ready for anything.
No, especially in an artistic field, you go to school. It's not like you go to school, you get your degree, and then you say, go to a concert hall and say, here's my degree, I'm ready
to
give
sing.
Me a gig. No, right? Because especially in music, I'm sure in any other forms of art, you keep growing, you keep evolving,
building it,
you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really by having the support from my husband Ewout that a lot of these things became possible.
Yeah. Coffee with Family, spending time with Metu Tupuani here this Sunday. We're talking about, you know, her journey in music. In fact, reflecting on some of these years that she spent, you know, creating and crafting her craft. You know, I think I'll call it that.
Yeah.
You know, and this journey that you went on that kicked off 10 years ago, you know, let's talk about the very first time you encountered Lebo Mashile's poetry and you started hearing this music now of this work.
Yeah. I was about 2024, I think the album came out. I was singing. I love Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
You know, Joni Mitchell is one of my heroes.
Of course.
And I think of Joni as a poet. I really think she's one of the greatest poets of our time. And then, you know, I started remembering that there was one thing I did like in high school. One thing, and that was poetry. I loved how in high school English class we would take one poem and there would be so many different interpretations of the same words, you know? And I love that aspect of poetry. So I started to like go back and like Google, you know, poetry and stuff. And some years ago, I came across a poem by Percy Mabandu, which is titled Old Man River. And I loved it so much. I was like, oh, I want to do something with this. So I took that poem and with a tune by my bass player at the time, Nick Dice, and we put it together and I recited Old Man River Knows My Name. I don't remember how else it goes. It's a long time ago. And that's what planted the idea of like going to poetry, you know? So I thought it would be great to find poems by black females. Different black females and use their poems and put music to it. I didn't know how exactly. So in my search of looking for black female poets, Lebogang's name just kept popping up on the internet when I was looking.
Yeah.
And you know, the internet has a lot of her poems just available. Even on Pinterest, you can find Lebo Hang's poems on
all captured there. Yeah,
yeah. And in my search, you know, I looked at other females too, but nothing really captured me like Lebo Hang's words did.
Mm.
And then I discovered that there is a book with 100 and something pages,
yes,
full of these poems written by Lebo Hang Mashile.
Yeah.
So the journey started of trying to get hold of this book, which was the most difficult book to get hold
of. I'm still waiting for a copy myself. Right. It'll never come.
But then a dear friend had a copy, and she was Usis Mamsi. Mamsi had a copy and she was in Durban. And I said, send me that copy. Send it to my mother who lived in Paulshof at the time. With the South African Post, this book took 8 months to arrive. So in the middle of those 8 months, I ended up meeting Lebo Hang.
Yeah.
And Lebo Hang gave me a copy of her book.
Oh, wow.
And it is the most precious book I've ever owned. It just, it keeps on giving. Like, yes, even today, I still page through it and still find more gems in that book, you know?
Yes.
So that's how the journey started 10 years ago.
It's been one heck of a 10 years. Because I think, you know, you're constantly referring back to, oh, you know, when that happened. Because that's the part of the storytelling that we will share forever, you know, when it comes to talking about this project. And we'll talk about the volume 2 just before we wrap up, you know, because I am going to ask you about that one.
Okay.
I want to talk about, you know, from the outside in as a composition that talks to, you know, belonging and forgiveness.
Yeah.
It is captured, you know, inside the poem as inside and outsider. And having lived, you know, former part of your life in SA and the latter half in Belgium, you've been quoted saying that you feel like somewhat an outsider in both countries.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
It's so crazy how, that's why I think that this project is in a way spiritual, because when Lebo Hang gave me this book, I didn't page through it like you page a novel. You know, I didn't read, it was different poems. So I would just open the book in random spaces. And the first space I opened was Inside Outsider.
Mm.
And I read those words and I was like, oh my God, this is me.
Mm.
You know, having lived, I'm already at that age where I have lived half my life in South Africa and half my life in Belgium.
Mm.
I do feel somewhat of an inside outsider. I know the politics of both places, you know. I know sometimes I'm a little bit, you know, that nuance of like, okay, when people ask me, where are you from? I always say I'm from South Africa because it's just, it doesn't sit right with my spirit to say that I'm from Belgium. I'm not from Belgium.
Yes.
But then people in Europe always assume like, oh, so you flew in. And I'm like, no, I live in Belgium, you know.
Road,
and a friend of mine who is a drummer from, he's American.
Mm.
And he asked me, he's like, oh, yeah, you still say you're from South Africa, even though you live in Belgium for that long? I was like, yeah, for me, that's how it is, you know. And I realized that for some other people, home is where they live, you know. So for him, his name is James. For James, when people ask him, where are you from? He says Antwerp, you know, because that's where he lives. And I can't say that. And I guess it is because of the history of this country.
Yeah.
You know, everything that we have been through in this country, I carry that with me.
Absolutely. You dream in the language.
You know, in exactly. I force myself to think in Sepedi. You know, people are always surprised. How can I not?
It cannot just go away.
How can I not? I grew up here.
It's in your genes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope I'm not diverting. What we're talking about,
inside outside.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just the first paragraph of that poem, it says, home is a foreign land that hurls the might of its confusion. Just reading those first two lines, I was like, she's talking about South Africa. Like you just know it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was just so heartwarming to feel that I'm not alone. This poem made me feel like I'm not alone. It made me feel like I'm not the only one who feels these confusions about where is home, you know.
Kofifa FM, it's page 3 and we're hanging out with Tutu Buani. It's all about the project Rap and Rhythm. And we're talking about the composition from the outside in. And this is what we're talking about.
Thank you. felt the might of its confusion around the world. Strangers believe they know my bruises, the smallness of boxes they call eyes. Will woo them into a false comfort. I will not live in boxes. They are not my home. Home is laughter. Home is rounded figures, a sharpened mantle weapon to be wielded again.
Get in touch on The KJazz Show on Kofifi FM 97.2. That's the Facebook page. At The KJazz Show on Twitter and at The KJazz Show on Instagram. It is page 3 here on The KJazz Show, of course, every single Sunday from 12 until 1 o'clock as we tell the best of your stories here on Kofifi FM 97.2. And we're listening to From the Outside In, you know, by Dudu Buane, and also chatting to her, spending time with the jazz vocal virtuoso. And of course, it's all about rap tune rhythm. And we chat to her about this journey of the project. And off the air, we were talking about this book now, Dudu, which, and I said to you now that I had mentioned to Lebo Kere, this book has given, in fact, this project has given this book a new life, you know, and unfortunately it's out of print.
Yeah. I mean, the publishing company doesn't even exist anymore, yeah. You know? So I believe Lebogang has the rights, yeah, to her work,
yeah,
you know? So somebody out there needs to republish this book, because after every concert in Belgium or in Holland or in France or in Germany, after every concert, people come up to me and say, please write that name again. Yes. What's it? Lebo?
Yes.
And I've written Lebo Khang's name so many times. I was telling another journalist, like, you know what? I'm going to make cards just written Lebo Khang machine.
And hand them out at the concert.
And just hand them out at the concerts. Because people go out there and they Google her name and they find some of her work, but they don't find the book.
They
email me asking me where they can get the book. So I'm like, I'm going to send them to Lebo Khang and say, Lebo Khang, please
ma'am,
sort people out. People want this book. Yeah.
I mean, I still waited for my copy. And I asked for that copy that first night at that Dopio the other day. But anyway, that's been a long story.
Yeah.
I you know, you've worked with a number of musicians on your project. And of course, in your career as a musician, from big band to philharmonic and smaller ensembles and so on and so forth.
Mm.
Do you have a favorite?
I do not.
Yeah.
I don't have a favorite. As long as I'm working with fantastic musicians,
yeah,
I'm happy.
Yes.
I'm happy playing in duo with, you know, just with Ewart on piano, or sometimes, which doesn't happen very often, with my bass player, Clemens van der Ven, who was just one of the most incredible musicians I've ever met.
Mm.
I love that quiet, sensitive, almost... it's very naked to play in duo with somebody, you know, but when you have a great musician behind you, it can be magic.
Yes.
I love playing with big bands. Oh, playing with big bands is one of my favorite things. I love to play with my band, the quintet. It's now a quintet because I've added a great, a guitar player,
yeah,
who plays, he taught himself to play the pedal steel during COVID.
Mm.
People learned things during COVID. You'll be amazed. He's a brilliant musician, and he just comes in and he elevates the music as well. So I love playing with my band, you know, because you just never know what's going to happen. We never know. Like, we know the songs. You might think as an audience, you know the songs, but you come tonight, you hear it one way, you come the next night, it's going to be something else. So I love that. And I love to play with symphonic orchestras, you know, when those strings come in, I always melt. So I truly love it all. I don't have one particular favorite
preference.
I really love it.
Which
that
was my next thing, you know, to talking about the project itself and the travelers and what they contributed, you know, on the project. Let's talk about who they were.
My favorite piano player in the world, of course.
Yes, ma'am. First and foremost,
Ewart Pierrot, because we composed a lot of these music together. So he's a very crucial part of the project. I mean, literally, the project wouldn't have happened without him. You know, without his composing, without his musicianship, without his support, without his organizing. This man can organize.
Yeah.
And Lord knows I need that. And then Clemens van der Ven, who is an incredible musician. Yeah. And I want to tell your listeners, he's also a singer-songwriter.
Yes.
He sings beautifully, but I can't afford him to sing with me. But if you go on your Spotify and you type in Clemens Zebulon, he has a beautiful singer-songwriter project. Wow. And the best drummer in all of Europe, Dre Palamats, who is just incredible. And he's on drums. And of course, we featured the one and only Bert Joris on trumpet. Oh, and Tim, my guitarist, on guitar and pedal steel. And we had the most amazing opportunity to feature Mr. Larry Goldings on two tracks on the album.
Yeah.
On organ, I wanted to say. And that only happened by the grace of our producer, Mr. Larry Klein. Mm. You know, Larry was so incredible to work with. He was also a huge dream that I'm still shocked that it happened. Mm. I mean, he produced just the creme de la creme of jazz, from Herbie Hancock to Joni Mitchell. He was married to Joni Mitchell for a few years. You know, go and Google Larry Klein and you will know who I'm talking about.
And we will get all of it.
Yeah.
Of course, Kofi, if you were firmly within the listening session, I think we've spoken more than we listened actually today. But don't you worry, we'll play the music, it's fine.
Yeah.
And of course, it is all about Wrapped in Rhythm, Volume 1, and the project is available via LP and CD, including streaming on your favorite app. So go ahead and get in touch with her. She is at Tutupwani if you'd like a copy. Otherwise, you know most our local groups here. It is with E-Jazz, with Mamsi, or Moafrika, with Errol, or myself at the KJS show on Kofifi FM. There you can find, you know, links to where we can purchase the music. And by the way, I did try and twist her arm, ne? For she must bring the volume 2, because I know it's coming, but she said it's not ready. However, she's here, she's going to answer for herself. Let's talk about the insights into the next, you know, volume 2.
Yeah.
What can we expect there?
Oof. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I have never been this excited in my life. I'm so excited because the idea of volume 2 was the huge, huge dream that I had. I've always wanted to work with the Metropole Orchestra. Mm. And during that 10 years of dreaming and fantasizing and thinking maybe I should let go of the idea of working with the Metropole Orchestra, you know, lo and behold, the universe listened, you know?
Yeah.
And I got an opportunity to play with the Metropole Orchestra. A lady who used to be the manager of Toots Thielemans was doing the centennial celebrations for Toots. And I sang with Toots like maybe one or twice.
Yeah.
And she knows me and she invited me. And she's like, why don't you come and sing a couple of songs with the Metropole Orchestra? I was like, are you kidding me?
No way.
Like, are you?
For real?
I'm like, I will do this for free, okay?
Never pinch me moment.
You know? So I got this incredible chance. And then guess who was the conductor?
Yes.
Vince Mendoza.
There we go.
You can't dream even, you know?
Yes.
So I got this chance to work with the Metropole. And that was my foot through the door, you know.
Yeah.
And I spoke to them about this idea. And immediately they were like, this sounds really interesting. Let's do it, you know. And oh, my God, it's here.
It's here. It's here. Pity we can't share. But what's our timeline?
Next year, I think that I think Ewart knows exactly the date. I think it's June.
Yeah.
June 2025 might be the 11th. The 11th of June 2025 it will come out.
You heard it here first, of course. Volume 2 of Wrapped with Rhythm. Tutu sings the poetry of Lebomashile. Incredible work. You know, 10 years in the making, and volume 1 is doing really amazing. And I want to listen to the lead single, you know, that you introduced the project to, you know. And but before you play it, Latitude, it says, refines the space between, you know, the person that I am and who I wish to be. What a powerful statement.
You know, because we go to therapists and we sit and we talk about, oh, my life is so bad. And because, you know, sometimes we hang on to who we were, you know, and we need to let go of who we were. We need to let go of fear, you know. So for me, my own interpretation of this poem, that's what it spoke. That's what it spoke to, you know, because it hasn't been easy living in a foreign land, you know, with their language and their cultures and everything. It hasn't been easy. So it gets really, really difficult sometimes. And like, you know, and I have to smack myself and be grateful for where I am and be grateful that I am healthy, that everything in my body works. I have a beautiful family. Everybody's healthy. We have a good home, you know. So, you know, stop worrying about, you know, could I have been that or could I have been this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what the poem spoke to me about.
So my mom just texted now. She says, oh, Dudupu, and what an amazing individual. I like her.
I like you too, mama.
We're going to play Latitude. Of course, we juxtapose this with Find the Path. And when we get back, wrap it up with Dudupu and the Sunday. This is the K-Jazz Show, the listening session. And of course, we're talking about Wrapped in Rhythm Volume 1 here on the K-Jazz Show.
FM 97.2 Kofifi FM, where it all began.
It is Lord that I was born to change the angle of my destiny.
Indeed you have.
Thank you.
Indeed you have.
And I have to say that that piece was written by the great bass player Clemens van der Ven.
Fantastic, fantastic music. As we wrap things up here on the K-Jazz Show, what an hour. It's gone.
Mm-hmm. It's gone. Like that.
It's gone. But we look forward to seeing you on the stage because you are with us for another whole week.
Yes.
And you're going to be on our Joy of Jazz stage. This is at the Conga stage. What can we look forward to that? There, rather.
You can look forward to in the moment music, improvisation of... it's going to be a combination of songs that are on Wrapped in Rhythm Volume 1 and songs that are on Wrapped in Rhythm Volume 2.
Great. So at least we get to listen.
At least you get to hear what's happening in the next volume. Yeah.
Looking forward to
that. But then, you know, like as I said, the next volume is going to be completely different because it's with a full-on orchestra.
Orchestra. And you're performing for two days, right? At the performance.
Yes,
we are performing
on the Friday at, I think we open the Conga stage on the Friday. So get there early, around 6 or 6:30, something like that.
And I will check. It is, yes, 6:45.
We open the Conga stage on the first night. And on the second night, we play around
8:30 to 9:30. There we go.
Yes.
Of course, if you don't have your tickets yet, go ahead and visit joyofjazz.co.za. Find the links there and that will take you straight to the ticketing page. And of course, whilst you're there, you can find the festival program so that you can then align your stars there as to how you're going to see them. You know, because I think a lot of people get frustrated due to that festivals because you are in half an hour and then you have to leave.
Yeah.
And it all comes with the planning. If you meticulously plan it, it is.
Yeah.
It is, because I know I've done it a lot of times. But thank you so much for spending time with us this Sunday. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you for the invite. Yeah. It's a pleasure.
Yeah,
thank
you. We planned it months ago, by the way.
Yeah, finally.
Very interesting. And our outfits are matching, and that's a different conversation altogether. But thank you so much for joining us. And of course, I will leave it here as well as we walk out. And we play out with The Desert's End. Let's talk about that one, The Desert's End.
Oh, that one also was written by Clemens. Clemens van der Ven. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's such a great composer. And I just felt like, you know, because me and Ewart, we write a lot together. And I just wanted a different flavor sometimes. You don't want, you know, sometimes when you write music, you might write the same song 100 times, you know. So I wanted a little new flavor into the composing of the actual tune. Mm. So I asked Clemens to write two songs for me, and he wrote Find the Path and The Desert's End.
Oh, beautiful music, of course. Yeah. From my side, the playlist is going to be up at the end of the show, of course, and the conversation, this interview, will be up on our podcast platforms. And 3 hours, of course, to tell the story of jazz will never be enough. But every week, every Sunday, you and I just tap into a little bit more story about you, a story about me. This has been a live broadcast of The K-Jazz Show from our studio too. And my name is Makuti, and this was The K-Jazz Show.